You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 175. I'm your host, Dr. Professor Andrew Kinkella, and tonight we look at Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo, where I help unearth some of the mysteries. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's nice to be here. I did notice that there was a little social media post for this show. Like, the Archaeological Podcast Network does these little social media posts every so often, which makes sense because they want to, you know, maybe make some money sometime. And what they do is they'll take a clip of like me talking for 30 seconds, you know, about whatever it is in the most current episode. And they happened to take a piece where I said something like, I'm back for the last time. And it was taken out of context. It was the very beginning of one of the segments to one of the episodes. So I was talking about last time for the episode. So I got a couple of people who are like, are you retiring from the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast? Are you leaving? What's wrong? What happened? What kind of strife happened between you and the Archaeological Podcast Network? Unfortunately, there's no exciting story. There's no strife. I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. It was just an accident based on taking a clip out of a longer show. So I am indeed still here. I'm not going anywhere. And I know many of you are like, he's still here? Oh. Anyway, tonight, speaking of me, I know you're like, no, please, Lord, not. Is he going to? He's going to talk about himself. Oh, good Christ. Yes. So I was going to talk about something completely different, something that didn't really have to do with me. But then at the last minute, by the last minute, I mean today, I'm recording this on Tuesday, November 11th. I'm recording it on Veterans Day. And I got this email that the season two of Mysteries Unearthed by Danny Trejo was coming out. Or sorry, Mysteries of the... you know, a lot of these are mysteries. They're unexplained. There's different files. There's secrets. This is, let me quote, Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo. Okay, so this is season two of this. A lot of kind of documentary networks do this, right? Be it the Discovery Channel, be it the History Channel, and so forth. You guys know this. And even increasingly on YouTube and online, these are shows, nonfiction shows, I guess you would say. Now, in terms of something like Ancient Aliens, which is also in this world, it counts as nonfiction because it's not a story with actors. Although I know you could argue, yes, it's a story with actors. But my point is, it takes place in the real world. It's what's called in the business unscripted media. So it is definitely in the unscripted media world, although there is a bit of a script, you know, but there's a beat sheet usually. But it's a series of interviews and that kind of stuff. Anyway, the reason why I got an email that season two was coming tonight, I believe, November 11th, is they're dropping episode one of season two of Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo. The reason why they sent it to me is because I am in this season, my friends, and I was in last season too. That's right. I am a multinational star. Why am I still here on this podcast? Why aren't I jet setting somewhere? You know, why aren't people interviewing me? You know, to learn how I tick. It's because, so I work with a company called Past Preservers. They're my agent, you know, and I get offers to do shows like this. I think I've talked about this one a little bit before. I was looking back. I think it was episode 164, maybe, where I just touched on it a little because I think I was talking about, oh, stuff I'm doing this week. And so what happens with these shows, and again, they had me back, right, for season two, which had its own fun and excitement for me. What these shows are, they're all very similar, be it the Danny Trejo show, be it the William Shatner, The Unexplained, where they make the X really big. I was on that show too. And again, I've done other ones of these. I've done ones that are have titles like, I think Secrets in the Jungle was one of them. Holy Marvels was one of them. And again, I'm actually kind of getting a resume in this stuff, you guys. And I really enjoy it. Now, the hard-nosed academic world is going to be like, Kinkella, how dare you? You have sold out. You sell out. And then as we go through this show, we want to be like, have I sold out or not? How this goes is, at least in this case, I get an email from the production company, right? And they're like, hey, Andrew, we're shooting. Would you be interested? And I always say yes. I will be in anything, you guys. If Joe Rogan calls, it's a yes. If Ancient Aliens calls, it's a yes. And I know half the audience right now is like, how dare you? But I'll tell you later why that is. So anyway, they called and they're like, oh, do you want to be a part of the show? And by quote unquote, be a part of the show, what that means is they're going to invite me to the studio. Most of the time it's in LA, which is really easy for me because I live in Southern California. But sometimes it's been in New York City. And New York City, you guys, I'd never been there, right, until the last like 2 years, largely for working on this show and shows like it. So they call me. I go, okay, in this instance, for season two and my part in it, they interviewed me for a series of things, but it came up very last minute. And I have no idea why. I'm guessing just that they felt like after they interviewed a series of people that they didn't have enough coverage. So behind the scenes, what happens is, of course, they have a series of stories. It could be about Pompeii or the ancient Maya, or they do all kinds of things. I mean, shows like this will even do things like ghosts and that kind of stuff. Of course, I don't talk about ghosts, and I would never say I believe in ghosts because I don't, right? Part of my deal is that I'm always honest, and I'm never going to say I believe in something when I don't. And I'm always going to be professional, and I'm always going to talk about real archaeology. But so they invite as many people as they think is going to cover. And they're doing a bunch of stories, you guys. They're doing the whole season. So I was looking up the season two of Mysteries Unearthed. There's currently 6 episodes listed, but I'm guessing it'll end up being more like 8 or 9 or something like this. That's very typical for these kind of shows, like 8 or 9 episodes. In each episode, they're going to have what? How many stories? Even if it's just like a half an hour show, 4, 6, I don't know. So do the math. Let's say there's 6 stories, what I like to call vignettes, right? Little vignette stories. They're just a couple minutes long. They have 5 or 6 per episode. That's 8 episodes. That's 40 separate stories, right? And so they're calling people to interview, not for all 40, but they'll ask you about 10 or about 6 or whatever they think works for you. So I think, long story short, the reason why they got in touch with me last minute is they were just going over all their stuff and they're like, ooh, we need a little bit more coverage, right? We need 1 or 2 more people just so we have more choice in the editing room about what people have said about these different stories. So I got a last minute call, super nice. The production company who made this is A&E Networks, right? And A&E Networks, I got to tell you guys, has always been super cool to me. One of my all-time favorites. They have been so cool, so professional. I got nothing but good things to say. And I know it makes the show boring. I know you're like, Kinkella, I want the tea, the top secret underground bad news about A&E Networks. Sorry, dude, there isn't any. Like, it's such a pleasure to work with people who are just professionals, you know, and they were just freaking great. And behind the scenes, this is how this works too. Realize that the Danny Trejo show is on the History Channel. Notice that it's not the History Channel that's making the show. It's A&E Networks, right? That is then going to parlay it to the History Channel and so forth. So like if something's on the Discovery Channel or the Science Channel, it's never those channels specifically making the show. It's a production company that then sells it to the show. Like I've worked for probably maybe upwards of a dozen separate production companies at this point, right? They're all, they have names that you probably haven't heard, you know, Ping Pong Productions, Shark Tooth Films, this kind of stuff, right? And a little note, those guys have all been super cool. But Annie called me and they were like, can you fly to New York like the next day? Right. I'm like, wow, sure. So I fly to New York. I get in like the night before. It's all last minute. Right. I'm lucky that I have a night to sleep. I get up in the morning and then it's going to be shoot day. That's very typical. Right. When we return, my shoot day with Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 175. I'm your host, Andrew Kinkella, and we are talking about Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo and my part in it. So, you know, I dug out, like, my notes from this shoot, and this shoot was in the very early summer. I remember it was, like, June, you know, let's say it's June 3rd or something. So they got in touch with me. I flew out to New York. I brought my clothes, behind the scenes, you guys, it's always tough to figure out what to wear because you can't have anything that has like a Nike swoosh on it, you know, or that kind of stuff. If you look at your clothing, look and see, especially like with shirts, try and find shirts that don't have some sort of brand on them, you know, tough to find, especially for men, you know, every polo has some sort of branding on it. And polos work so good, at least for me. You kind of learn behind the scenes, like what works good for you and what doesn't. I am a dark colored polo guy. I've done it all. I go with whatever they want. You always have to bring a change of clothes two or three. I once brought like 4 shirts and I could tell plus the one I was wearing, and I could tell they basically didn't like any of them. I'm like, dude, I'm trying here. And you have to be professional. You have to make sure if they're using a green screen, don't bring a green shirt. But anyway, you sort of figure out what works for you. I'm either like dark jeans or like a khaki kind of situation. And then I have like boots, a belt, and that's kind of how it is. I find that I have to wear what makes me feel comfortable. Like I'd never wear a freaking tie because I hate them. And it's just not me. There's also very little in terms of makeup for stuff like this. They'll put powder on me when I come. But I've found that sometimes I do look a little washed out. And I'm like, ooh, I should probably like learn the sweet world of just the simplest, you know, of makeup. I wouldn't want to come in with some dark eyeliner or something looking strange, but it's that stuff. You would think there'd be like a team of makeup artists and clothiers. No, you know, it's just you. So you kind of walk in just with myself, camera ready, it's called, where I'm all sort of dressed to impress. See, tricks of the trade that I've found, wear what you want to be seen in first and foremost, like wear what you want at first and then show them the other one. So I walk in with that. And then with a garment bag with like 3 more shirts and another pair of pants in it. And then I have my bag, which has my script notes in it and a couple things to write with, you know, a couple of pens and pencils, some blank sheets of paper, that kind of thing. I have my own weird way of organizing what I will loosely call a script. I don't want you to think like if you watch Mysteries of the Unearthed and if I'm on it, again, more on that in a minute, that I'm somehow reading from a script. I'm not. They do send what I like to call a proto script or a beat sheet, you know, that has like, okay, we're going to talk about this. Here's some sentences we kind of want to say, but they often say, just say this in your own way. You know, they're very open to, because they want it to be natural. So I'll kind of look at the sentence and I'll kind of edit it. I'm just looking at my notes now. It's so funny. I have a feeling of being tired because it was so last minute. I remember going over all this stuff on the plane, you guys, like over to New York City. And for them, it was an afternoon shoot. Let's say it was, I don't know, 4.5 hours, 5 hours. I can't remember. Something like that. It was after lunch. It was like an afternoon evening shoot. And I did, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I did 12 what I'll call vignettes, right? And on here is stuff like I talked about Pompeii at one point. I talked about the Rosetta Stone at one point, and so on and so forth. There's a sort of a mummy story here. And I'm being a little vague just because I don't want to ruin the show, and I want to give them fair warning. You know, I don't want to say exactly what it was, but you get a feeling like there. I talked about the stuff that they thought an archaeologist would know about. So now sometimes it will be things. There's things here about history. There's things here about dinosaurs a little bit, but that's okay. We know that, yes, archaeologists don't dig dinosaurs, but when you're a production company and you're going to interview somebody, sure, an archaeologist is going to know a lot more about the nuts and bolts of excavation of like dinosaur bones than someone who's a poet or someone who's a historian, right? So I've gotten asked about all kinds of things. Yeah, there's a lot here. So of these, again, what did I say? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Of these 12 stories or 12 vignettes, I have no idea how many or how little I'll be in. You know, they might have interviewed me and paid for the day and then just go, yeah, you know, we're good. We don't need Kinkella's stuff. Like, we're okay. You guys, I have had every experience in terms of this stuff. I've shot for hours and hours and had like barely anything used, like literally 30 seconds. And then other times I'll shoot for like 3 hours and huge chunks of it are used. So it's up to the editor. It's up to the storyteller, because ultimately we're trying to tell a story, right? Of these sort of mysterious stories. So on shoot day, that's what you're doing. We got 12 different stories that you're going through, and you're basically giving the setup to the story, telling the main chunk of the story, and then the sort of ending, like the cool twist or what ultimately happened. And you're either just kind of talking off the top of your head, you're looking at the sort of beat sheet, or like the director or producer is asking you stuff. It's all of that. What they want is they just want little pieces that they could really use, understandably. So that happens for hours, right? And this time, it was an afternoon shoot. I think we were done pretty late, like let's say 7 at night. I don't know. I remember it was pretty dark when we got out of the studio and we're in New York City. And the crew, again, was super nice. They invited me to dinner with them. We just got dinner at like a little bar slash restaurant that was really close by in New York City. And it was nice. We just chilled out. We just had dinner and that was it. You know, this time, I think I slept there again that night. And then I was on a flight in the morning. That's how it goes. You fly in and fly out, right? Did I ever meet Danny Trejo? No, because why would I? He's the host. He kind of sets up the stories. He's not a part of the telling of the stories in that way, right? I'm the talking head. Me and the other people who do this. He's like the host. So it's the same on like the William Shatner ones or Pick Your Poison, right? Even though I was on the William Shatner one, I never met William Shatner, right? Although I did meet Danny Trejo. I met Danny Trejo like 15 years ago. My family and I were flying to Hawaii and we were at LAX. We were at the LA airport. And he was right behind us in the line. And I remember that there were people constantly coming to him asking for like to take photos and for autographs, all that stuff. He was super cool. You guys, he couldn't have been cooler. Like even for me, and I'm a pretty mild mannered dude, even for me, like seeing what he had to go through, I was like, God damn, I might freak out, you know, at some point, like, cause it was just, he just wanted to stand in line and like, you know, take his belt off and his shoes off for the airport. He didn't want to like take photos constantly. And I got to say, a lot of the general public, assholes, man, they were just getting in his business. I'm like, dude, what the fuck's wrong with you? I don't know. It was a great day for Danny Trejo and a bad day for humanity. So anyway, I sort of said, hey, for one moment, just because we were just to be friendly, but he was very cool. So anyway, I do my vignettes. and then I get out of there. I don't know if, like, see episode one that comes out tonight, I don't know if I'm gonna be in it or not, right? I think, like, we can look. I've pulled the names that they listed on the website of the first six episodes, and they are National Treasures, Blasts from the Past, Shady Secrets, Hidden Giants, Famous Finds, and Monstrous Marvels. I would think that I would be in Hidden Giants. There's a little descriptor here where it says, from a legendary city swallowed by the jungle. Sounds very archaeological, you know, sounds like I would be in that one. To an underground metropolis stretching 18 levels deep, and even a forgotten pyramid. So these, they have to write them like they're cool. You know what I mean? I got no problem with this. And even the term hidden giants, like, it could be anything. That doesn't have to be a giant. I would never say and have never said there's such thing as giants, because there's not. There's no such thing as giants. But that could be a giant city, a giant pyramid, and so forth. I find that Mysteries Unearthed, and whether it be this, whether it be The Unexplained, there's many other shows that do this. God, the first show I was on, What on Earth does this? What they do is they almost high concept the start of the story. But to their credit, they tend to land on the ground, meaning, like, they will tell the story truthfully. Now, I'm not here to police the entire show, but I know the parts that I was in were honest, reasonable stories of the past, right? It wasn't about aliens or giants or lizard people, or there's nothing like that, right? It was very, like, I think I listed before, a story on Pompeii, you know, a story on the Rosetta Stone. I think the Rosetta Stone thing was pretty good in terms of, just to my memory of just the setup and the straightforward. It's like, dude, the Rosetta Stone's intrinsically awesome. So, you know, have these stories been told before? Oh, hell yeah. But so what? Tell them again. Tell them one more time. Tell them three more times. They're intrinsically awesome. And I find that the public's memory for this is so short, right? They could have done these same stories 6 months ago and do them again. It's okay. The other thing I do notice is, you know, movie and film and TV technology does get better, and the stuff you'll see on the big screen does filter into the television world. So, like, the special effects on what you might call an everyday show, like Mysteries Unearthed, gets better over time and really gets kind of cool. So the reconstructions of these things that happened in the deep past get to be, like, pretty damn good. When we come back, my last thoughts on Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast, episode 175. And we have been talking about Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo. And I think this last bit, we have to consider if I'm the problem. Am I the problem here? And what is the problem anyway? Is there a problem? Have I sold out? Because, dude, you're listening to the host of the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast, and he is going to deign to be on something like Mysteries Unearthed with Danny Trejo, and he would deign to be on something like The Unexplored with William Shatner. Oh, how unacademic of him. Sad. So when it comes to me selling out, I want to joke and be like, yeah, I'm the biggest sellout, dude. Oh, I sell out for my sweet cash. No, I would not say I was a sellout. What's funny is I did a whole podcast on what a fraud I am. It's Pseudo Archaeology Podcast 100. And on a funny side story, it's totally what comes up when you Google my name, because I have my name in the title, right? Which is really rare. I think it's called, like, Andrew Kinkella Fraud. And the reason why I do end up constantly joking about this kind of stuff is the joke turns on the super seriousness of certain corners of academia, right? And the joke turns on how lost mainstream academia is in terms of telling these kinds of stories to the public. You've heard me say aspects of this in the past, and I have thought about this so much, you guys. And it's one of those ones where you get to the point where you're like, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm right. Pretty sure. So yeah, it's the sad part in all this. The sad part is not me. The sad part is not Mysteries Unearthed. The sad part is not Danny Trejo. The sad part is that academia is so far behind in terms of telling real stories about archaeology to the general public. They're horrible at it. And it bums me out. You know, I will say this, that working with A&E was only professional and cool. They were very into listening to me in terms of as I went through the beat sheet / script. I'm looking at it right here. It's 31 pages. I printed out 31 pages. And what I do is I print them all out. And then I just take a pencil and I make like notes, you know, to myself. I cross little things out or I move things around. And as I talk to the, you know, the writers and directors and stuff, the day of the shoot, I would kindly, you know, tell them, I'd be like, oh, this part, I think we should say it like this instead, you know, or this part, I know that this part here is pretty old in terms of archaeological, kind of current archaeological knowledge, you know, I would say this instead. And they were really cool about that, you know, and I think it's because I came from like a collaborative approach. I'm like, dude, I want this to work. Like, I want this show to be good. And I want my part in it to be good, you know, so they were into it. At the same moment, of course, whatever changes I could make or working with them had to be within reason, you know, because no matter what, this isn't just a list of cold archaeological data, because that would be boring, right? It has to come in a story form. Right. Human beings learn through story. We remember things through story. We kind of live in a story paradigm almost. Isn't that funny? Beginning, middle, end, you know? So it has to keep the watcher's interest. It has to be factual. It has to kind of have certain beats, you know, at certain times. It can't get too boring. It can't go on too long. It really takes a talent, you know, to do that kind of thing. And again, I have nothing but respect for these guys, and they are constantly working in terms of trying to get shows like this greenlit, which means, you know, to get the show in production. They're constantly moving stuff around, changing the names of the titles and stuff. Like, what's funny is I was looking at my 31 pages of printed out notes and my list of the 12 episodes, the 12 vignettes, I should say, that I was a part of, and they didn't seem to match what's online exactly, right? And I think it's because they were, again, constantly changing things where they're like, what used to be episode 3 6 months ago is now episode 5 and so on and so forth, right? That's how it seemed to me, because I'm like, oh, wait, what I have here doesn't match. The, you know, the vignettes for me were numbered out in terms of which episode they would be in, you know, so I have several here that are numbered episode 3, but they don't look to me that they match what is now episode 3. You know, they look, I'm like, oh, these kind of way more match episode 5. So it makes sense. People are constantly watching it, rewatching it, looking at the processes they put it together, analyzing it in the editing room, you know, and trying to figure out what will make sense to people, right? What will make sense for the show? They need to put these various stories together under an umbrella per episode. Like, sure, you can tell a great story about Pompeii, but does that go in the same episode as the Rosetta Stone? Maybe, but maybe not. You know, if you just have an episode that's generally on old famous archaeology stuff, then sure. But if you have one on Egypt versus Europe, right? They're from different times and different places. So they have to come with a very general theme per episode. Like, just looking at these ones for season 2, you know, saying something like National Treasures is episode 1 that's tonight. And that is, of course, going to be about, like, I believe, I'm guessing, national treasures of America, like Americana kind of stuff. There's one called Shady Secrets. It's gonna, that's very vague, right? There's just secrets. But maybe, I'm sure each vignette is going to have to do with something being secretive, something being hidden, you know, this kind of thing. That's okay. That's cool, right? I wish academics would stop poo-pooing shows like this. You know, I get the poo-pooing of something as extreme as the Ancient Aliens. You know, I get poo-pooing stuff if they say that giants are real, or one of my biggest pet peeves, the moon landing never happened. You know, that dumbass stuff. If there are shows about that, sure, I'll be the first one to make fun of them, you know, all day. But there's these mid-range shows like the Danny Trejo show, which I think really speak, it has to speak to a broad audience, and it does. And I do think it brings cool archaeology stories, you know, to that world that they wouldn't get any other way. And as an extra, you know, I wish that more archaeologists like myself would do this. And again, some do. I'm not the only one, but it's rare. Because with the advent of the smartphone, you know, when people watch stuff like this, they're going to look stuff up in real time. So, you know, when they see an episode on the Rosetta Stone, they're going to be like, oh, the Rosetta Stone. And they're going to look that up, Rosetta Stone. Also, when they see real archaeologists like myself, they're going to look me up. They're going to be like, oh, who's this Andrew Kinkella guy? Right. And look me up. And so, sure, shows like this could misquote me or edit me in a way that doesn't really represent what I'm all about. Like, that stuff could happen. I'm not here to say that this show did, you know. I've mildly had those experiences in the past, but I don't mind, because for several reasons. First, I know they're trying to tell a story. Second, I know they have very limited time. Third, I know they can't go into the higher end academic esotericness of some of these things. There's just, it's not the right time. That can happen at another place and time, right? And also, when somebody sees me talking, maybe they think I've said something that's a bit off or something, they can Google me, right? And in 2 seconds, they can see that, oh, this guy is like the real deal. They could even leave a post on my YouTube channel or something. This kind of stuff has happened to me before, where they're like, hey, Kinkella, you said this. What do you mean about this? And then that's a time where I can expand and go, well, you know, yes, that was a very short quote from me, but what I was really talking about was this. And the more correct way of looking at that is like this, right? So I have no problem with this kind of stuff, you know? And my only real problem is that academics sit in their academic tower. They don't come to the general public. They way too often think it's beneath them, you know, and they poo all this stuff. And then they say they would be on a show as long as it's up to their standards, otherwise known as the show that never has and never will exist. And also the show that would be incredibly boring. You know, they are just terrible communicators in general. Again, not all, but the percentages, my friends, are bad. So for academics out there, they're going to, you know, like lay into Mysteries Unearthed or any of these other shows that I talk about. I'm like, okay, make your own show. Sure. Make your own YouTube channel. And you know what? Start your own podcast. I just want to end saying that, like, again, A&E Networks totally kicked ass. They were great. My experience with them was just like awesome. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat. And with that, I'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.